write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just a scout? I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
That was great. Sounds of Watsa with Outside on WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, with my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, EZ Blues is in the building. EZ Blues, you are better with introductions more than me. What is the topic we're going to talk about today?
Well, see, what is so incredible about this topic in particular is there are so many different ways you can look at it. And you have the super Hollywood version where someone will sell their family car and get themselves a sports car and a fancy wig and all this kind of stuff and try to live out, you know, a youth. Or you have the other aspect of it where people will quit their jobs. We are obviously talking about the wonderful crisis known as the midlife crisis and how to handle the midlife crisis.
How do you handle it?
Well, see, it's interesting for me because I didn't think I was ever going to have a midlife crisis. Because I'm a Peter Pan kid. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't think I was ever going to grow up. So before anyone gets super morose, I'm like, oh, no, I just didn't think I was ever going to grow up. But the midlife crisis, I handle it in a different type of way. Like, it's something that I'll sit there and make sure that I'm living my best life. I'm making sure that I'm being 100% myself at every point in time. I'm getting the mental health that's needed. Like, I'm doing the opposite. Like, I'm trying to live healthier. Like, I'm going through the midlife crisis and trying to live healthier and trying to live the better aspect of it instead of like the live fast, die hard, and leave a pretty corpse.
Fair enough to say.
It's super, super crazy because, you know, some of the different things that I do, you know, in particular is same stuff that I've not really changed that. Like, I've changed a lot, but I really haven't changed that much since high school. So the aspect [S2] Right. [S1] Of still doing the same, I'm still listening to the same type of music, I'm still doing the same type of things. You know, I just do it now as a father, as a musician, as an entrepreneur. You know, I just have different roles in which I go through it. Now, I've seen people go through a midlife crisis and change every aspect of who they are. I think I was just close enough. I was already an outcast and I was close enough to, you know, living, I guess, truly as myself, pretty much my entire life. So it was just easier for me to adjust in that midlife crisis. Although there are some people who think that I'm trying to start a cult.
Trying to start a cult? That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know those people.
I don't know. For me personally, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in a midlife crisis. I believe you make your own decisions and you can be your own problems. And you can also be your own solutions as well, too.
Right.
So, because like I think the last episode we talked about entrepreneurship and, you know, different topics ranging around that. There's no right time pretty much for anything. You just got to go at it and just hope for the best. And you learn from those mistakes you made your first go around and you improve better each and every time. And then you just got to keep on being consistent with it. I think the more consistent you are, the better you can go wherever goal you try to go with life. But I think it's midlife crisis. I think it's just a reflection of the decisions that you made before.
I think it definitely is a reflection, and I don't mean to stomp all over you, but there is a real reality behind understanding that you're hitting an age where now you have more years behind you than you have ahead of you.
Absolutely.
And that messes with your mortality. When your mortality gets put into question, you start to live a little bit differently. Yeah. And whether that be someone, you know, who's been diagnosed and only has a couple of years left to live,
right, or that's different aspects of that.
Yeah. You know, but so that's what kind of where I see a midlife crisis is when people are like, oh my gosh, you know, and again, it does go down to the choices that they made. I have not accomplished A, B, C, D, and E, and I'm already at this age. I only have but this longer to go. I think that's a very real thing. So fair. And some people freak out with that. You know what I'm saying? They'll freak out.
Yeah, we don't know how much time we have on this earth. Yeah.
Exactly.
I get that.
You know, you've got that kid that, you know, was growing up and was very reserved, all of a sudden hits a certain age and they become Mr. Party Goer or Mr., you know, something completely changes in them. It could be called any type of crisis. It could be really like an identity crisis is really what that all comes down to.
And life can go by so fast, bro.
Right. Yeah, and it could be over in any type of instinct. You know, you could be 4 years old and walk outside your front door and a car come on and take you out. Like, that's
4 years old.
I'm just saying that's a reality. Like, it's a morose reality, but like, there is no, like, for that person, the midlife crisis was a terrible
thing. They were this little left field right here.
I like to swing big sometimes. Sometimes
you swung hard. I think you missed because with my reaction on my face, but life is what you make it. Life is definitely what you make it, especially with the decisions that you make in life. And you just got to just move strategically, in my opinion. It's really hard to do that sometimes. It could be the circle that you're with. It could be the career choices that you make. And part-time jobs can be career choices, you know. And it may not necessarily turn out the way you want to. But I really am optimistic, and I feel you just turn yourself around. And even if you feel you don't succeed, there's a lot of success that comes out your hard work. You may just not know it. You know, I feel you have to look at the good matter you do in life.
Well, it's super interesting because we talked about this one of the last shows that we did with the entrepreneur and parenting, where you have to be thankful for those small blessings. You know, like every person that takes 4 minutes out of their time and hangs out with me on Spotify, or takes an hour out of their time to sit and watch the show. Yeah. I am super thankful for, because that person is didn't have to do that. Time is the only thing that we do not have an unlimited supply of.
No, it's not promised at all.
So I'm appreciative of all of those type of aspects. And it can get really difficult because, you start to debate what makes you happy to what, society, what is supposed to make you happy.
Of course.
Where sometimes we are raised that, you have to have, by 35, you should have a house of your own and you should have 2.5 children and, your credit score should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those type of things. But all that stuff is made up. It's made up expectations that other people have for you.
Is it the false narrative of the American dream that gets most people in the life crisis?
Well, I think the problem is they don't necessarily look at the American dream the same way it once was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the American dream used to be living your best life.
Mm-hmm.
Now the American dream supposedly is living your most commercially successful and, multi-marketed life.
How can someone make sure they're the main character of our story? Because we lose focus sometimes, we become a side character in someone else. We get to be so focused on that position in our lives. We really should be just focused on the selfish part.
Here's the thing, man, and this is probably going to be one of the most controversial things I've ever said.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are meant to be side characters.
I don't think so.
Here's the thing. Because you have even the side character has their own story, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, of course.
Where they are of their own story.
Of course, yeah.
But there are those aspects where there are people who are conditioned
mm-hmm.
by the way that they were raised and different things like that. They've been conditioned by where society tells them they have to go. They've paid attention to that. They've lived that. They've gone through that. And it's kind of like their sentence. Like, you've lived this life to this long, you're going to be a side character. Can you break from that? Yes, but you might have to have a midlife crisis. And that means, selling your family car, getting a sports car, growing a ponytail, wearing, a jacket and shoes with no socks, and living your best Miami Vice life.
So rebranding yourself pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's really what, and that's, we all the time talk about, the personal aspects of the branding aspect and all that, but it's so true because you do have to rebrand yourself. And like someone like myself, I try to rebrand myself every couple of years. every couple of years I change something up. Mm-hmm. Every couple of years, I, you know, because I get bored. You know, how many people are bored right now, like living in their existence? Go and change something. Drive a different way to work. You know, get, you know, drive a, ride your bike to work
mm-hmm.
one day. You know what I'm saying? Try, drive a different pattern to work. You know, when you first get to work, go to the left instead of the right. You know, use the bathroom before you leave the house. You know, all those different kind of things just to change up the daily routine so your life doesn't become monotonous.
And you're switching up the boundaries.
Yeah, you got to switch up. You've got to switch up those boundaries, because if you don't, then you have all of this repressed aspect of it. And now you're kind of like a zombie. Like, if you really look at it, if you're just getting up, going through the normal paces, doing your punching your clock, punching out on your clock, and, mm-hmm. you know, you're doing that over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Donald Glover talked about it the best on the Childish Gambino's records about being a zombie. And that's really what it is someone who gets wrapped up in the whole lie of the consumerism world, and they lose themselves.
What is the best way to help someone going through a midlife crisis?
Support.
Okay.
Support. And here's the thing. It's not endless support. You know, if that person can't afford that sports car, you're their friend and you tell them they can't afford the freaking sports car. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have your midlife crisis in your Honda Accord, homie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just pimp it out. Like, we can get some things done. We'll put some better rims on that, you know, for you.
What's some other ways to be non-judgmental?
You've got to forget your own standard for people. That's really what it comes down to, because we get judgmental because they don't meet our standard,
right?
Because they don't meet the reality in which we put them in. You got to take yourself out of that picture. You know, when I say that there are some people who are meant to be, you know, side characters, there's also some people who aren't meant to be the main character the whole time. You know, and I think that's the thing, is juggling that type of aspect. I remember back when I was going to ECV, Matt Crossman, this phenomenal pastor, was talking about, you know, going from being the main character of the story to being the supporting character. And that's doing that through parenting. The
other way around. Okay.
Yeah. Where you first start out as the main character, but then you understand that it's not your story anymore. Now it's your children's story that's going forward and moving, you know, where there's still pieces of your story, there's still aspects of your story there, but the more important story is the continued generational story. And I thought that was one of the most amazing things to this day. I remember, you know, that teaching so well, because mm-hmm. he used the example of he loved Field of Dreams. And he's like, finally, his daughter was at the age where he could share Field of Dreams, and she didn't like it.
Mm.
And that's when he realized that it wasn't necessarily about him.
Mm-hmm.
It was about her like of it. And it didn't mean that she didn't like okay. him. She just didn't like that movie, no matter how much important that movie was to him.
All right. That's fair. But when it comes to I know you said some people are meant to be side characters.
Mm-hmm.
Is that another judgmental view of opinion? Because we see, because sometimes some people can see a main character as a side, like you say before. Mm-hmm. But right. Do you feel it all depends what that individual feels about themselves at the end of the day?
Well, that's one of the key things. And I love it. Actually, Cat Williams, you know, oh, you messing with my self-esteem. How am mm-hmm. I messing with your self-esteem? It's how you feel about yourself.
That's true.
You know, but you can, the life in which you live and the circles in which you hang out in and stuff can beat down upon your self-esteem to the point where you do feel that's all that you're there for, is just to be a bit character mm-hmm. and to have a bit part in everyone else's life, not realizing that there's a whole story, your story that needs to be told. And I know that sounds very counterproductive to what I said before,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't make it any less true. I do feel that there are some people who are supposed to be bottle rockets.
Mm.
And, you know, a bottle rocket lights off and goes on a trajectory for a long period of time, but, you know, stays along the horizon. Doesn't necessarily shoot so far out into space that it gets to land on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who are meant to be bottle rockets, but they can still have their own story in being a bottle rocket. A bottle rocket still has its own story.
That's true. Can one be misdiagnosed with a midlife crisis?
I think someone can be misdiagnosed with anything, you know, because one, you have the self-diagnosis. Those self-diagnoses, the worst thing in the history of the world. And the fact that we have these wonderful phones right here that we have WebMD to figure out all the things that are wrong with us.
Not, and, not know, just WebMD, we YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you know, you have all these people who are not doctors telling you what to do physically and mentally. So it's a seesaw.
Yeah.
It really is a seesaw. It's scary seesaw.
You have to take with the like pretty much everything with a grain of salt. You know, and I think we've gotten away from that as a species, is we've stopped taking everything with a grain of salt, and we're taking everything at face value, and face value is absolutely ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like you've got to look at it and like, okay, like for example, there's no way in anything that isn't a bad TV movie, would the leader of a nation, you know, sit there and try to overthrow a very valid election. But here we are, you know, dealing with that on an everyday basis, you know, where this has now become something that has become an actual plot line in real life. Because we don't take things with a grain of salt, because we don't believe what's necessary. We just want to believe our version. You know, we are extremely selfish culture. It's about our version. It's about what we want. We are all Veruca Salt. We want an Oompa Loompa, and we want it now.
Do you feel we need to take a sabbatical from things when we go through this midlife crisis, such as, you know, television, certain people in our lives, and just, you know, trying to create this new routine for ourselves? Do we feel we have to break away from, like, I know we slightly stated this earlier before in this broadcast, like bad habits, people switch up our diet. And when I talk about diet, I'm not just talking about what we eat, what we read, what we watch, who we interact with, just to, you know, overcome that. So it would be a short period of time instead of a long period of time we deal with this crisis.
Well, see, I love editing. Editing is probably one of my favoriteest things in the world to do. And you know, where I have a small to large circle of friends, or I have a small to large circle of family, you know, where I look at it and go, it's kind of like when you're cleaning your room or starting to get rid of some old things. You hold it for 5 seconds and you go, does this give me joy? And if the answer is no, then you donate it, you know. And you do the same thing with people. Like, I've looked at relationships in my life and be like, does this relationship give me joy? And it doesn't. And I don't care that we're related by having the same last name.
Right.
That relationship doesn't give me joy. I Absolutely. Don't need it in my life. I just don't, you know. And then there are other relationships that do require that. There are people that have a different last name than me that I consider family more than the people who are, you know, actually bound to me by the law of genetics. Actually, I won't even say genetics. I'll say the law of the land, because I actually like my genetic family.
Speaking of genetics, how does midlife crisis deal, in your opinion, from men and women?
You see, I think it's a little bit, it can be different on both type of ends, and it all depends on how far we've bought into what our stereotypical gender role puts out there. You know, there are some women who, you know, will go through the midlife crisis will be absolutely crazy, but you don't seem to understand that they spent a good portion of their life living for somebody else. So then the children get to a certain age, and now they have more freedom to themselves. But because they were married, or because society told them they couldn't go out and do all those different type of things, they still repressed all those things. So now, once the kids are completely gone and they look over at their partner, and they haven't done anything to rekindle that spark or to grow together, then they completely change over their life. And they'll go out and get a new partner, or many partners. You know, it all really depends on the lifestyle in which someone chooses to live. All that being said, that's for them. You know what I mean? Whatever it's going to take for them to be happy and healthy, and as long as it's all consensual, then I'm more power to you. Like, you tell me you want to be in 1,700 relationships and you all believe in that and you're all consensual, word, I will be at the family reunion. You know, but you know, you tell me that you're in one relationship and the person can't stand it, But you have, but you know, you're keeping them there. That's, then we're going to have an issue. Then there's gonna be like, hey buddy, that's illegal.
That's true. On WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Preston, and my partner in crime, hopefully he doesn't have a midlife crisis. His name is EZ Blues, is in the building. It's really a interesting subject to tackle, because like, you can say the right thing, you can say the wrong thing, but I feel there is no right or wrong thing when it comes to this topic, because it can go numerous and different avenues when we discuss this. But I feel a topic when it comes to women that I hear most of the time is pregnancy. They have to have a kid by a certain age. You know, I don't know anything about the female body at all, but I have seen numerous success stories of women having kids after 41, after 42, living, and those kids live healthy and meaningful lives. And that woman who delivered that baby is having a healthy and meaningful life after the childhood. Some women want to be a young grandmother by in their 40s or 50s, and that puts a little, in my opinion, a little toxic thing in that child's head, because they're forcing them to have a kid at a certain age so can look a different type of way. You know, like I've seen that aspect as well too. And for example, for a man, you know, they have to be the provider. Don't get me wrong, I do agree for men to be provided for their family, all that, but you know, they have to be the breadwinner, you know, even if they're not at that status to be a breadwinner yet, because like relationships, it's a responsibility, and it doesn't matter, in my opinion, who makes the most money. It matters how they feel about each other and what they're willing to do to maintain that relationship with each other. Am I making sense?
Oh, that makes total sense. And it all breaks down back to this thing that I say all the time. And we've had many a conversations about it.
Yeah.
Is it's living someone else's standard of your life. You know, that's really the societal programming and the different aspects of it, is when you sit there and you're living that other person's standard. Yes, there have been medical breakthroughs now where, you know, women can get pregnant later on in life, or the babies are healthier and different stuff. Like, there was a point in time, I think it was up to 35, there was a drastic increase in the children being born with Down syndrome. I can only speak of this because my youngest sibling was born stillborn with Down syndrome. My mom was 35 years old.
Oh wow.
You know, so I'm just speaking from experience. I'm not speaking it from education. You know, I remember all the things that were talked about when going through that type of aspect. I remember everything that was supposed to be there.
Is everything okay? Because I don't want you to go through a midlife crisis. So your mouth
open.
Is everything all right? Phone. I got a little worried.
I got a little worried. Is everything okay?
Gotcha.
Yeah, my drummer just hit me up.
Okay, cool. I
wanted to double check, make sure. No, he was good. He's got a piece of of the drum set that he wants to drop by for Miles.
That's cool. So that's cool.
It's cool. But he can drive that by later on in the week. But no, it's super like important. Like when you sit there and like, one, figure out who you want to be. And this is not something that it's 100% going to be the same exact person every single day. Like, who are you going to be today is not the same person you're going to be tomorrow, because there are going to be a whole bunch of different aspects and environmental things that happen to you that will change and will help you grow and mold and move forward, you know. And that's really what comes down to it, is you just got to continue to push forward and to try to hopefully knock it out of the park.
True. The false narrative about school, how do you feel that factors into midlife crisis?
Well, I remember when everything changed. Like, I remember going through normal school and watching the narrative change, and also understanding that the narrative was nonsense to begin with, where everyone, you've got to go to college or you'll get this squared away, you got to do this and blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, don't be a hairstylist. That's ridiculous. How many hairstylists I know that own their own shops can take a vacation to wherever they want to go, make the money that is necessary, and they're freaking happy.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
This is true. This is true.
You know, I think the narrative, it got skewed. I think the narrative should have been go to school or do something that's going to further benefit you in your future.
Of course.
Or sit home and do nothing and then you'll be a waste.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been the narrative. But the narrative got skewed. And then, you know, you have to go to school. And now that has built in this whole huge debt issue that we've got going on as an American society, you know, and it's a debt issue that hopefully we'll be able to wipe out shortly with the proper funding. But that's a whole nother story.
I feel the associate's, the bachelor's degree is getting, I'm not going to say extinct. I'm not going to say extinct. I'm not going to say extinct because, you know, when you're doctors, when you're lawyers, we need professions like that. I feel it's getting less popular. I can't think of the right word. And I think people are looking for different alternatives, if I'm saying this right, to achieve a balanced structure in their lives. I'm talking about trade schools. I'm talking about even just going in into different jobs and learning and growing within those jobs. It can be something low. Actually, I'm not going to say it low because it takes a lot of work. I don't like to call jobs low. I think that's disrespectful. Let's just say a grocery store. You want to grow within that grocery store company. Mm-hmm. You want to grow to become a manager. You want to start off in your teens. And then the teens, you want to start to be like this district manager, maybe in your 20s, and just go further on through there because you can go and grow. You know, you can get your benefits. Your benefits get better with the higher you are within that promotion and so on and so on. People feel they don't need like to go out their way to have a balanced, structured life. Don't get me wrong. I think those people or those individuals still chase their dreams, but they want to have a nice plan B. They want to feel, okay, if this doesn't go the route I think that went down, I still have this to fall back on. I think the fall back on is getting much better today than it was back then when I was a kid and when you were a kid, because we were told by, you know, parents and, you know, different individuals that you have to go to this school to, you know, succeed. You have to get a bachelor's degree to succeed. Or if you do not get this within your life, that's it. It's the end all be all, you know? You get what I'm trying to say?
No, it's 100%. And we talk about it all the time. I call it that's the trauma you experience from love. You know, you want what's best for your kids. So obviously you're going to say, boom, and everyone, you know, your kid automatically is going to be that superstar lawyer or that superstar doctor. So they've got to go to the best schools and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You want to know something? I've had some incredible doctors, and I don't know if any of them actually went to one of the top schools out there.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm pretty positive the doctor that saved my youngest life, you know, didn't go to one of the top 10 schools, you know, but he did his job and he did it well.
Yeah, of course. You know? School's what you make.
You know, a lot of it has to do with again, that narrative of what other people want you to be, you know, and how you're supposed to do that. And it comes down from a place of love. And, you know, because that other generation saw the pain that could happen for them. And they're worried that that's going to happen for you. Life is pain. It's going to hurt. It's going to suck a lot of the times. But if you continue to put your head down and work through it, you know, that's when you can find your moments of happiness, you know, like, but the Declaration of Independence says the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't guarantee us happiness. It guarantees us the pursuit.
Okay. Let's talk about a mental breakdown when it comes to the midlife crisis. Obviously, I feel it can't be avoided because breakdowns happen often and everyone reacts differently to a mental breakdown. You could be by yourself or you could be in public all happy, then out of nowhere, boom. That's when it happens. So just your thoughts and feelings on that topic.
Well, as someone who's had several of them in public and in private, I feel like I might be an expert on this term. No, I'm just kidding. It becomes managing. You have to go through and you have to manage it. You have to understand that some days the voice in the head is going to win and some days it's not. And some days the biggest again, it's getting away from, you know, the societal norm of what they're telling you you should be, you know, because for me, it took me the longest period of time to understand that there are just some days where I just need to lay down and I need to like just exist. And the fact that everyone got to bed and was alive at the end of the day, that's a victory. That's the victory. It's not the big victory that I wanted, but it's still a victory. That was one of the things that I had to rethink for myself in that type of aspect of it. And it's something that took a long time to process because I'm someone who I want the world and I want it now.
What do you feel someone should ask questions to themselves when it comes to midlife? What?
I think people should ask questions of themselves every day. I don't think they should have to wait for midlife or anything like that. I think you should continuously question everything and you question yourself as much as you question the news in which you ingest, in which you question the political figure that you see in that news block. You need to question everything because it keeps your mind going. Your mind is this incredible computer. We have like a ridiculous computer up here. And we only use, what is it, like maybe 20% of it?
They're saying maybe 10.
Maybe 10% of this ridiculous computer.
To my knowledge, to my knowledge.
So we're mishandling 10% of one of the most incredible computers that are out there. Where we can now take that and we can go, you know, look. And I think one of the main reasons why we're mishandling it is because they're trying to stick everybody in a particular spot. They're trying to stick everybody in that particular column, that particular role. And there are just some people who sit outside the norm. I mean, hi, my name is Easy Blues. I sit outside the norm.
Speaking of staying outside, do you feel people have to go outside their environment to break out that midlife crisis? Do you feel the people are too much within their home state or their home city? They don't really get a chance to see the world outside of them to be like, oh, wow, this is a much bigger place than I've realized.
Well, I think a lot of people are afraid of the adventure, and the adventure itself, you know, can be terrifying. Don't get me wrong. So like if you are super happy staying in your own town and all that kind of stuff, that's cool. Do you, be you. But there's so many like cool things and you can still adventure in your own town. I get up, you know, almost every single day and I'll just go out for a walk just to see where I'm going to wind up today. Sometimes I don't get up out of bed at all. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be anywhere today. And this is that's going to have to be okay. But, you know, I get up and I'll sit there and I'll have an adventure. You know, there's been many times we've booked appearances places and we have no idea how we're going to get out there. But there's an adventure on how we get out there and how we get back.
That's true. You know, I've done that.
And that's a lot of fun. It's also can drive you a little crazy, especially like when you're in Hartford and the last train out is at 10 o'clock and you're there at 10:10. And then you're like, well, we're both going to spend $25 each on a Lyft, you know,
we did it too.
Yeah, we did. Yes, we did. And we'll do it again.
There's going to be many more adventures. Those were fun though. We met a lot of great people, a whole bunch of networking and, you know, it's more good than bad. I think we highlight the bad too often. And then we just overthink, every human being overthinks. There's nobody who hasn't overthought a situation. It's just pretty much just going ahead and going forward, you know, with that task or being scared to do it. A lot of people are scared, are afraid to do something scared. And I'm a victim of that. I'm a huge victim of that. And it sucks. It really does, bro. It really does.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It does and it doesn't, because, you know, sometimes I grew up in the time where you had those no fear shirts, you know, everyone was like, oh, no fear. And this is great. And I actually came up with a shirt that I wanted to release. It says, fear is nature's way of telling you you need to calm down. Because there are some things that fear is really, really, you know, look, I'm not going to go into a bear's domestic cage. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, you know, jump into a lion's den. I'm not going to do any of that because that's scary. I'm not going to do that at all. You know, and then there are some people that, yeah, they don't take that risk. They don't get that reward, but they also don't have to deal with the heartache and the pain and the suffering and how much it took to actually get that reward. And then you realize that reward is nothing more than a Cracker Jack box reward. And you're, you know, miserable.
Cracker Jack or box reward. It's
pretty funny. Yes. Thank you.
No, I'm not gonna lie. It's pretty funny. Divorce, separations, breakups, even the termination for a job. How do you feel that factors in the midlife crisis?
I think it affects, you know, any type of thing. It can affect any type of situation, any kind of life, but in the midlife crisis in particular, you're going to see where that can actually start to rip you away, because when you're now, your outside reality is changing. Now there are these things that you have to evolve through. It's kind of forcing the hand, you know, where for so many years you lived in this one particular way and you never had to worry about changing the toilet paper roll because your significant other was always changing the toilet paper roll. And now you've got to reteach yourself how to live life and remember to change the toilet paper roll. Remember to walk into your bathroom and make sure that there's three, you know, rolls of toilet paper in there at all times, because there's going to be that one day that you don't do that. And you're going to sit there and you're going to pull that last piece of toilet paper out, and now you don't know how you're going to wipe your butt.
Or a different scenario, what if that significant other cooks for you all the time? And then you spend like this whole entire, you know, say divorce, like say marriage, just like the longest way, 7 years. But seven, 8 years. Let's say I have those 7 to 8 years, you know, you never, you know, touched a pan or stole, like you're like, it's a different way of living. And you have to, you know, maybe make a couple peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to just switch it up, or you know,
or deal with a really high
out to eat bill, which is a slight bit cheaper, you know, than DoorDash or Uber. You know, you have to just restructure everything. Even finances in the house. Let's just say someone covered a certain amount of bills, and you know, your job that you have now doesn't, you know, give enough money to carry the bills. You may have to move out, unfortunately, and go to a lesser, you know, apartment that you can afford, or a lesser home that you can afford. A lot of stuff, and then a lot of stuff can switch automatically, or even termination from a job you've been at for a long amount of time, and this is all you know. You know, you do not know anything else. And then out of nowhere, like maybe a budget cut happens and you happen to be part of the budget cuts, and they give you, you know, the farewell that you weren't expecting, and then you have to change your whole life. It may take you a couple months, you know, maybe even instantly, to go into a new form of employment, but it's not going to be the same. So like inside you're torn up, but outside you have to keep this mask on. It can be very difficult.
It can be extremely difficult, and it could honestly stink. You know, one really of the things you know, is I always look at it to kind of piggyback on what you were saying too, with the meals or with the bills.
Yeah.
What if that other person was a person that was paying all the bills?
Yeah.
And now you have no idea how to deal with that financial aspect of it. And now you had no idea. I pay for how many streaming sites? What do you mean?
Not even that. Stuff you really need, like water, gas, you know, and you got to go out there and, you know, is it done digitally now? Because everything's done digitally now. You can just, you know, they just take it out your account instantly. You don't have to worry about it. Or, you know, paper route, you know, mortgage is crazy these days, you know, because like even owning a house today is insane in these prices, no matter where you live. So many directions that this can take that can really mess you up in the head. You can feel, I should have been at this age, I should have known how to do this, but I relied on this person or this or this group of people all my life to take care of me. You know, that can really hit you hard.
But see, that's a big thing right there. I love how you just finished it with that. To take care of me. Learn to take care of yourself. What do they tell you all the time? Say you're in a plane crash and the oxygen mask falls down. They say, take care of yourself first and then help the person next to you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so you have to, like, you know, when you're in that type of relationship, you know, you sit down and be like, okay, I know I usually don't pay the bill. You know, I'm not the one that's paying the bills, but like, hey, what's going where and when? This way, just in case, you know, say, for example, it's not even a divorce aspect of it. Say something strange happens and they are, you know, we have another pandemic and they're stuck on the other side of the country. You know what I'm saying?
That happened to a lot of people.
That happened to a lot of people.
So many people. It's crazy. It really is. On WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven, myself, Preston, and the person who I just slightly interrupted, and I apologize, EZ Blues. Go right ahead, sir.
Dude, that was so smooth. You don't have to apologize. That was great. But it's a key thing, you know, where you, for now, for however long until there's the travel ban is up, you know, you now have to figure out how to live in two separate spots on that same type of income. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of different things that could happen, you know, where it doesn't have to just be the super negative of losing the job or having a divorce, where there could be something bigger than you. You know, so yeah, it's tough, but the best way to do that is to keep open communication with your partner.
Of course.
And also don't take for granted your partner either. Like if your partner is the one who's paying all the bills, thank them for it.
Yeah, like that, you know, show your appreciation.
Exactly. Like and we don't care.
Appreciation. Yeah, definitely.
We don't care which one of your partners is the one that's paying and not paying. We're not signing any type of roles, but we're saying just be thankful. Be thankful that someone's there to take care of it. Because
give them a cup of coffee, something like little gestures to let them know that you are thankful to them in your lives.
Exactly. Definitely. That's something that's huge. Yes.
Yeah. We're talking like a lot of different aspects, you know. Art, artists, creatives, as yourself. I know I'm not even talking about fame.
Right.
I'm not even talking about that. But when it comes to just being at a certain part of your craft, do you feel yourself or different entertainers when it just comes into music or whatever, feels they have to know something or master something within their framework at a certain age? Do you feel like, oh, I'm in my 30s, I should like know this pattern with the guitar at this certain, I should know how to do this type of, you know, work at this certain age? Do you feel it's like that? I'm just talking to you just as a creative,
like,
I'm
not talking for me,
nothing else. No, for me,
it's a matter of, did you put the work in? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't learn how to do that scale if you're not out there practicing that scale over and over again. Did you put your 1,000 hours in? You know, we talk about the 1,000 hours on the show all the time. Have you put that time in which this craft has now, you know, hit muscle memory? You know, and the only one you can blame for that is yourself. Like myself in particular, I am now reteaching myself how to play guitar because there is a student at the place in which I work that is having real issues, you know, learning and evolving. So I'm going to reteach myself so that I can take my style of meeting this person where they are and help them grow. And who knows, maybe in another couple of months, they'll be playing shows and different things like that. Maybe we'll find out that this isn't really truly for them. But at the end of the day, I have to put the work in. I got to put the hours in to make myself better at my craft so that I can then teach the craft.
True. This is definitely true. Actually, let's keep it going for a little bit. I like how you mastered that, just like owning and accountability. Do you feel accountability can be somewhat of a cure to midlife crisis?
I think accountability can be somewhat of a cure for everything.
I agree.
You know, because look, we've talked about it on the show before. Say there's another tragedy like what happened with George Floyd.
Ooh, okay.
And say that hour right afterwards, that police commissioner came out and said, I'm really sorry. What that guy did was wrong. He's going to be processed and we're going to handle it that way. And we're going to change everything that's necessary so that doesn't happen again. We're going to take accountability for this wrong. Now, don't you think the world wouldn't explode?
I know we're getting like this dead air and it's really bad for radio.
No, but this is something I hope everyone takes a couple of seconds and really thinks about that, you know, because
just the fact.
Go ahead.
I feel the world would still explode. They won't explode at that individual who took accountability for that person's actions.
Right.
But just the fact that it already happened, this is the only thing I'm going to really touch on that.
Right.
I feel the world will explode because we've seen it so many times. And I think a lot of people, even myself, are tired of seeing it.
Oh, and you should be.
Numerous
and I'm tired of seeing people not be accountable.
I'm tired of seeing people not taking a responsibility, not being, but we're just tired and exhausted and just mentally drained on seeing it. And we are disgusted to say that it's that we're used to it. Right. We are beyond disgusted to see that we're used to it. Similar to a child, you know, going to school, and unfortunately seeing what we see on the news now, because I don't want to put like a couple words together when it comes to that, because children are so precious.
You were talking about a child, you know, having to go to school with a bulletproof backpack.
Exactly. I don't want to go further into that, but like, it's scary to even think that, you know, we're used to it. And it's disgusting to say that we're used to it within this country, you know? So that's all I'm going to take it when it comes to that. But I do feel, but I get what you're saying when it comes to that scenario. If that officer did say he was accountable, it would take it would lessen it. But I do feel, to answer your question out of respect,
right,
we'll still see it.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
No, that's super important. You know what I'm saying? You know, because we can, because you can look at it, then the other officers that are around weren't accountable and all those different things. So we need to really have accountability on every aspect. Look, I am a human being. I make mistakes 1.5 million times. Half of what I'm saying right now is probably wrong. I will own that, because I'm not a professional in that aspect. I'm just some dude with an idea.
Yeah,
I'm just some human with an opinion.
Absolutely.
So we can be right, we can be wrong, and that's okay. You know, but the most important aspect is, you know, being, when I am wrong, I'm going to tell you I'm wrong. Not only that, but I'm going to tell you I'm sorry if me being wrong hurts you. I'm going to hold that. I'm going to be accountable for that, because I hold myself accountable. And again, that's all we can say, is we can hold ourselves accountable. But if more people, if we were raised in a culture of accountability, life would be much better.
I agree. I do agree. Any words to someone going through a midlife crisis right now?
You're not alone. I know some of it can be dark and some of it can be crazy, but you're not alone. There's a lot of places in which you can call, you know, there are, not saying that your midlife crisis is going to bring you to a suicidal aspect of it, but there are suicidal hotlines. You know, there are places where you can go if your midlife crisis is leaning you towards drugs and alcohol. You know, there are meetings that you can go to.
Yeah,
don't feel you can go to that meeting by yourself, and you live in New Haven, I will tell you, hit me up. I'll go to the meeting with you.
I will
definitely tell you that, you know, because, you know, you are worth it and you are important.
Mm-hmm. You are worth it. And everybody's worth it too. Especially people listening on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, and my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, EZ.
Wondering what to write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just this gown? I don't know.